Nashville Sports Radio Media Complex. This is the George Plaster Show. Call George now at 615-844-5600 and online at WNSR.com. And now, George Plaster.
Hello again, everybody. Welcome in to a snowy Monday. Wow. We got some snow. Here it's not amounting to anything, but I can't wait to talk to these guys and find out what may be going on elsewhere. I'll tell you up front, it'll be a little different Monday than normal. First hour, we're going to talk about the Vanderbilt football situation with the firing of Derek Mason. Hour number two, we'll get into the Titans' big win yesterday in Indy. Let's start out and say hello to Coach Watson Brown, who's up on the plateau. Watson, what's the snow like up there?
George, I'm watching it snow as we speak. It's already sticking on the trees and on the cars, on the deck. So we're probably going to get a little bit. We may end up with about an inch before this is over. The ground is not catching it great yet, but the field out here in the back in the backyard that I can see from the backside is covered white. It's amazing.
You know, it's interesting because here, where I am out in West Nashville, really nothing other than you see the snowfall. But then Terry sends me this photo of what's going on up in his area in Westminster, up toward the Kentucky border. Terry, impressive.
Yeah, we probably got about a half inch on the ground, maybe a little more than that. Everything's white around here. Connor texted me a little while ago and said, hey, you think we'll get out of school tomorrow?
Oh.
Ain't no doubt.
You know, and I got a feeling, Watson, that what we've had here for the last 3 or 4 hours is probably headed your way.
Yep, I'd say you're right, buddy.
Don't they do the virtual school now? Like, doesn't that kind of ruin all the snow days for kids now?
Yeah, it's, you know, they're on the, Sumner County went back to a hybrid thing where they go a couple days a week and then they have virtual learning the rest of the time. But up until a couple of weeks ago, they had been going 5 days a week, but they've gone back with the coronavirus numbers going back up. They went back to hybrid the week before Thanksgiving.
Okay. Now, we've got an interesting – well, let me run through three or four little update deals. It looks like the 49ers are going to play their next two home games in Arizona. That would be because they've basically been told, you're not playing in San Fran. Bad news at Indiana, where quarterback Michael Penix has a torn ACL. He is out for the year. Terry, the story involving the Indianapolis punter Rigoberto Sanchez, we now know what's going on, cancerous tumor that he is going to have removed, and certainly we want to keep him in our thoughts and prayers.
Absolutely. You know, bad news there. You know, just pretty gutsy effort that he was able to go out and punt yesterday in that game for the Colts, right up to and leading to this diagnosis. But certainly prayers to him for a full and speedy recovery.
Amen. And no new positives to report with the Denver Broncos. That game yesterday was a total sham. And let me give a big old raspberry to the NFL for forcing that game to be played. That should never have gotten played. I don't get it.
No, you're right. I mean, my question is, and I know that the Ravens situation had far more people that had contacted the COVID and, you know, tested positive and all that, but if you don't have a quarterback, how are you supposed to play a game in the NFL? I can't believe that the league didn't give the Broncos, you know, the option to push this game back or tell them that they could wait and play on Tuesday or something when they probably would have had a quarterback or two available from the contact tracing, you know, running out.
I heard they contacted Watson, and he said no thank you.
Oh, that's a good one, George.
Okay, Watson, you ready for this?
Yeah. What's
I that? Put out on Twitter today a couple of things about what went on yesterday, and I'm just going to read these, and then I'm going to turn the floor over to you. The firing of Vandy football coach Derek Mason was inevitable. He is a very good man, and I wish the best for him. Among the important criteria for the next coach is the ability to help build a fan base. It is the smallest I have seen in my lifetime. Wins and buzz are vital. The next Vandy football coach needs massive assurances from the Chancellor and Vanderbilt Athletic Director that they are serious about stadium renovation, facilities upgrades, etc. Otherwise, this has no chance for success. I turn the floor over to a man who has sat in that seat, Coach Watson Brown.
There's been a few people sit in it since that point. I'll tell you, and that was a long time ago, wasn't it? Gosh, can you realize, George, that's 40 years ago? 35, something like that.
Jeez. When you got it.
Yeah.
And then when they got you, it was 30.
Oh, you got it down pat, don't you?
Oh, yeah. So I remember the day well.
Oh, it's tough for Dick, but yet he's going to get paid really well, and I wish him the best. And he's been very classy in everything he's done. I thought the way he walked out the door, George, was very classy. And but they got to move on. They got to move on and decide. But as they decide, I'll throw this out and then let you two guys critique it a little bit. I think there's a way to win right now without spending gobs of money. And I'll quickly try to go through it, George. If I'm taking too long, stop me and whatever you need to do with me. But first thing to me is they've got to get a guy that can excite the community, Nashville, Middle Tennessee, the state of Tennessee. And that guy has to be able to take on, and I mean take on. You got to get your piece of the pie with the Titans and the Preds. When I was there, we had none of that. It was a different world in that way. And just to throw out a name, I think Jeff Fisher would be perfect for that. I do, because you've got – I don't believe in that, George, but in this instance, I do. I don't think you just – hire a guy that will excite everybody, you make sure he's a good coach. Well, and there are those guys that are both, and I think Jeff is that. But Jeff is a well-known guy in this state and well-thought-of guy in this state. You've got to first get everybody excited about something again at Vanderbilt before the wins come. And that's the first piece that I think is there. And there's other names, too, that could do that. But I throw Jeff out first, and if I'm Vanderbilt, I most definitely talk with him. There's no doubt in my mind.
If he indicates an interest.
Huh?
If he indicates an interest.
If he indicates an interest, and that's right. But just with his name being out there, as I've read around in different circles, as I've read through some of this, I bring that up because I've seen his name in the pie, in the circles. That doesn't mean that Jeff would even want it, and I'm not sure anybody would. And that's why I go to the second piece of all this, is what are you going to do with them when you get them? And I think there's a way to spend, I don't know, $10 million, whatever, not a ton of money in reins of what it's going to take to redo all these facilities. That ain't even close. They need to spend money immediately on the head coach and a big time pool, George, for the assistants. I mean, is up there with the top dogs in the SEC. That's where I would put my money.
Yeah.
I would throw my money around before we can do a ton with facility in these assistants. Second thing I'd do, George, is I would have it, I don't know, 10 to 20 people in a building that do nothing but recruit. Because that's what it's all about. You got to recruit the 4 or 5 stars. May not get many, if any, but you got to recruit those guys. And then you got to go get the best of the three stars that know can be really good players. And I think that takes a major pool of people that's 6 to 6 every day, and that's all they do. And they come up with the names and get them to these assistants. The assistants have to go recruit them. And that's a lot of money, but I would hire a ton of people. I don't know what the legalities are of that right now, but I'm telling you, whatever it is, I would put a bunch of people in a room, and that's all they're there for. And the next thing I'd do is I'd fix that schedule. If I'd have 4 wins, There's no doubt about it. Three of them at home, one of them on the road. But I'd have four wins in that non-conference schedule. If that means you got to buy out people to get that right, I'd do it today. And I would fix that schedule. And then I'd make sure my coach totally understands the academic process at Vanderbilt. And if there's any way to help with that or fix it, maybe it's already been fixed, I don't know. But that needs to be gone through tooth and nail with the coach before he walks in the door and he understands what he's dealing with. And the last thing I'd do, George, immediately is I would fix the locker room and the weight room. That won't cost a ton of money, but I would upgrade that immediately. If they do those things, in my opinion, they can have a winning program within maybe a three-year time. And because, George, you can win. You got four to start with. And you can't blow those four, but you make sure they're four that are very winnable. And now you win two. You go 2-6, you're in a bowl. And then if you're 2-6 again the next year, you're in a bowl. And every year you're in a bowl, everything starts getting better. The player you bring in starts getting better. And as all that starts happening, you start working on the big money on the facility issues they deal with. But I think this is fixable, George, before they ever get to where they got to spend those big bucks on those facilities.
Okay, guys, help me with this. It seems to me in recent months I've been hearing whispers of, you know, they've got this money raised and they're going to do this and blah, blah, blah. And the cynical part of me says, whatever, I'll believe it when I see it, because I've become extremely jaded when it comes to Vanderbilt athletics. But it does seem to me now with this coaching search that whatever and whoever this new chancellor is, Daniel Dearmeyer, that he's going to have to put his cards out on the table when he meets with some of these candidates. The ones who are too stupid to ask the right questions will deserve exactly what they get. But there will be some coaches who have got a laundry list of things to interview them as opposed to the other way. And how Dearmeyer answers all that stuff is going to tell somebody, is this all just the same old crap, or are they for real?
That's why, George, I say give them the quick commitment and then let him know what your overall major commitment is going to be. You can't fix that major commitment tomorrow. It's going to take quite a bit of time. But the things I went over are fixed tomorrow. You can do all of that within the first week. You can up those salaries to where it's right up there with the big boys for the assistant coaches and get, I mean, top-line assistants. You can fill a room with a bunch of recruiters that find you players. You can buy out a schedule. You can do that. And I wouldn't be embarrassed to do it. I'd pay off whoever's on there that we don't need to be playing right now. But all of this goes to me, to the person they bring in. And I don't know who that's going to be yet, but if you're going to attract any kind of name, George, any kind of name at all, you're going to have to do these pieces, in my personal opinion, to get anybody interested, much less being able to tell them, we're going to fix this, we're going to do this, we're going to fix this stadium. Those are big bucks now. Those are big bucks to fix. The things I'm talking about are bucks, but if you're not willing to do the things I'm talking about, then you're not committed to winning in the SEC.
Terry, you're listening to this. Give me some thoughts.
Well, Watson is exactly right. It's going to take, you know, go beyond any coaching hire. It's going to take a commitment from the university. But in terms of trying to find the right guy, it's going to take somebody that can sell the program and sell themselves, a lot like James Franklin was able to do. It's not going to be easy. It's kind of an uphill battle. You know, he brought the name Jeff Fisher up, and I'll throw this out there as a selling point for Jeff if he's interested in the job. You know, when Jeff works for the Titans and coached them for 17 years. He worked for Bud Adams throughout that entire time.
Yes,
he did. And Mr. Adams had a reputation for being a little bit thrifty at times, shall we say.
Frugal.
Yes. But, you know, Jeff had that ability to go to Mr. Adams, explain why he needed this for the betterment of the franchise, and more often than not, Mr. Adams gave in to him and let him have what he wanted or what he needed. Now, that may be a little different, trying to get it out of the powers that be at Vanderbilt to come off of some of that money. But Jeff has the type of personality, and he has the type of experience where if he's interested in it, he can probably come closer to getting what he wants, to improving that program and that facility than a lot of other people who haven't done those sorts of things in the past. Watson, would you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But you can't miss on any of the pieces I'm talking about, Terry. They've got to get committed in some way right out the gate and then get committed in a long-term way. There's two commitments here to this next coach to me. The immediately commitments that he needs to get things going in the right direction, and then the long-term commitments, which are mostly in a facility way. Take recruiting, what I'm talking about, Terry. They got to nationally recruit. You can't recruit like Alabama or Mississippi State or whatever. I've been at Rice and Vanderbilt. You have to go nationally to get enough of the players that you got to find in these academic institutions. And that's where I'm saying throw a lot of your money in recruiting that you've got. I think back about when I was there. We just didn't have the recruiting base other than the coaches. And the time that needed to be spent hunting players, I look back on, was my biggest mistake. You've got to, now my last few classes were really, really good when I figured it out. But you've got to have the base to where you can find them all over the country. And that, to me, is an absolute must. And that costs money, guys. I'm talking about throwing some pretty good bucks around in people before we really throw a lot of bucks in facility.
We will continue this conversation. Chris Lee will join us at 2:40, give or take, a minute or two with his thoughts on the situation. We'll go to our first break and continue the conversation about how to fix Vandy football. You're listening to WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
So you're watching the game and you see another ad for FanDuel Sportsbook and you think to yourself, is that legal here in Tennessee? Well, you bet it is. FanDuel Sportsbook is now legal in Tennessee. You can place your first bet on FanDuel Sportsbook risk-free. Get up to $1,000 back if you don't win. Seriously, no strings attached. Just place any bet you want. If you win, keep the cash. If you lose, you'll get your entire bet up to $1,000 back in bonus site credit. So you can take another shot at the end zone on the house. I love this risk-free bet. Or just the beginning, they get a simple. They've got a simple app, and once you win on FanDuel Sportsbook, they get you your winnings in as little as 24 hours. And to claim your risk-free bet, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app, sign up with that promo code GREGP, so they know that I sent you FanDuel Sportsbook promo code GREGP.
Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires 7 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789.
I'm Blair Durham from Bart Durham Injury Law. We are open 24/7. Our team is working remotely so that we can stay connected during these times. We can get to work for you without a face-to-face meeting. We will get through this together. Our firm has been here 50 years and plan on 50 more. During scary times like these, we have to stay connected. Check out our social media to see how we can help our community and friends. I'm Blair Durham. We will get through this together.
Southern Lawn Experts is reminding listeners that the holiday season is here and there are countless needy and underprivileged children who won't be receiving a gift. So please stop by your local Marine Corps drop box and donate a gift today. This message is brought to you by Southern Lawn Experts. Give them a call today at 615-579-1332. That's 615-579-1332. Southern Lawn Experts, proudly saluting our troops, veterans, and men in blue.
Allstate now has deeper savings, and deeper savings require deep thoughts and a deep voice, like mine. Save for being a new customer. Save more for adding DriveWise, and save even more for driving safely. Visit Allstate.com or contact your local agent for a quote today. As someone once said, saving today is money tomorrow. That's deep.
Not available in every state. New customer savings based on early signing discount. Drive-bys is an optional feature. Savings vary based on how you buy. Subject to terms and conditions. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Northbrook, Illinois.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR SkyScan forecast. For today, expect a possible rain shower. There'll be a slight chance of snow in the afternoon. Cloudy skies. Your high 39 degrees. Little or no snow accumulation will be expected. Utilizing the resources of the WeatherBug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Jimmy O'Neill.
Sports Radio WNSR.
The Johnny Ballpark Frank Show.
I always thought you were such a nice, quiet young man.
Westbrook pulls up at the free throw line. Tied ball game.
Here's a kid with an honest face.
Weekday afternoons at 4.
In my car constantly late for appointments because I'm sitting here listening to you on the radio.
Here we go. We're going live right now.
I just want to tell you, I've been a long-time listener for 12, 13 years.
The Johnny Ballpark Frank Show on Nashville Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM. This is the George Plaster Show. Call now, 844-5600 on WNSR Nashville Sports Radio.
224, and we're discussing the Vanderbilt situation following the firing yesterday of Coach Derek Mason. I have thought for weeks this was inevitable. Have said so several times on the show. Here's something that I've been saying for 30 years. Excuse me, and I think people now absolutely know it to be true. Whoever the next football coach is, it needs to be made very clear to him early on, you've got to kiss babies and shake hands. You got to do the dog and pony show. Derek Mason was a complete zero in that area. And to be perfectly honest, other than Tim Corbin, virtually their entire coaching corral at McGugan is a complete zero. I don't understand it. When you look around at how embarrassing their fan base is, somebody has to care. You cannot continue forever in a conference that averages the kind of fan bases those places have, and to sit there and settle for what they have, it's embarrassing. And Watson, I don't know if it's number one or number two under what's important, but it can't be any worse than number three.
No, and I think it fits in the whole equation, George. For Vanderbilt to be successful in a fan base way, you have to. The alumni base is not here. It's national. It's like I talked about recruiting. Vanderbilt's a national school. The fan base, when I was there in its heyday as a coach in the 80s, was totally community-related. The fan base was fantastic, excited to be a Vanderbilt fan in football and basketball. Lord knows we've both spent so many times in Memorial Gym when you couldn't get in and can't hear a pin drop. I mean, you can't hear yourself speak. That's what has been there before. It's harder than it was in the 80s because of the professional sports in Nashville. That's how Nashville has grown. But it is doable, but you can't do it without the community fan base. And that's the non-alums coming back and being Vanderbilt fans again. And it's going to happen first, in my opinion, with whoever you walk in the door right now as the next coach. And that's where I'd say a name that means something to somebody is important in this hire, whereas sometimes it's not. It is in this one. Hugh Freeze, Jeff Fisher, Coach Lee at Notre Dame, names that would excite somebody the minute they get the job.
Although you would admit that there's no way in hell they're hiring from Liberty. They're not hiring Hugh Freeze.
I don't know what they'll do, but I'm telling you the just a few of the names out there to me that it would excite the base immediately. I usually don't think that means that much because you're going to have to play a game sooner or later. In this incident, I do think it does. I think the Nashville, the Middle Tennessee, especially that base all the way from west, south, northeast, is watching this like a hawk and seeing and what they're going to tell this next coach and you know, what are they going to do for him and what's the future look like. And everybody's going to watch it, George, because this is really the end of the road. If they do nothing and just bring in another guy and it's another long 5, 6, 7 years, I mean, I don't know that you can get over it. This is a very, very important hire in Vanderbilt athletics, in my personal opinion.
Terry, before I come to you, late word, the Western Kentucky-Charlotte game, scheduled for tomorrow morning at 10:30 Nashville time, has now been canceled.
Wow. On whose side?
I don't know. Don't know. Just got this.
Wow.
Ted Johnson, our station manager, passed it on to me. Terry, you've been listening. What do you think?
Well, I think Watson is dead on in terms of that you've got to beef up your recruiting. You've got to beef up. You've got to bring in a coach that, you know, knows how to shake hands and kiss babies and that sort of thing. And, you know, he's also right in the fact that Vanderbilt, you know, the interest in this program is probably at an all-time low. You know, I don't think there's any doubt about that. I mean, when you look, you know, they had to postpone two games this year. They did, you know, because of the COVID, and they were out for two straight weeks. It was like a 2 or 3 week gap between games. And honestly, other than a few diehards, did anybody miss them? Did they get even mentioned hardly during that time? No, they didn't. And I think that is, you know, the apathy that has set in with this fan base is the first thing you have to cure. And you do that by bringing in a coach who's recognizable that wants to work hard. You do that by doing the things that Watson says, by bringing in a good staff and paying them and, you know, making the upgrades that you can right now to just to try to generate some buzz and some excitement. I mean, you know, the fact that they had the novelty of a female kicker on Saturday is the first time that we've heard any buzz about Vanderbilt football this entire season, really, probably since the opener against Texas A&M when they played better than expected against a really good team. You know, I guess what I'm trying to say in this, when you talk about the whole Vanderbilt situation, I think that it's sunk so low that it's basically reached the point now where it's now or never mind. If you're not going to try to fix this now, then don't even bother. It's probably just, you know, it's going to be a lost cause.
George, fixing it is true, but how do you fix it? Do you all realize that, I've looked it up here, we talk about the Franklin years. It says headlines here, Franklin only beat 4 winning FBS teams in 3 years. He beat Georgia, who was 8-5. He beat Houston, who was 8-5 in 13. He beat Ole Miss, who was 7-6, and NC State, who was 7-6 in 12. I'm telling you, schedule is very important. Very important till you get yourself up with the Kentuckys of the world or the Ole Misses or whatever. We've got to make sure we give this coach a shot, George. I keep bringing it up, and it kind of passes by everybody. I think that is a very important piece. Did you all realize that about Coach Franklin?
Well, Watson, let me tell you a funny story about Franklin and that. The first time I ever interviewed him, we do one segment. I've kind of told him up front, don't feed me all this. The university's committed. They're not. And so he had a little fun with me and called me Mr. Sunshine and blah, blah, blah. But during the first commercial break, Willie opens up the media guide and says to James Franklin, are you aware in your second year you're going to Clemson? And he about had a heart attack.
Yeah.
he went off and then called me that night and said, okay, I got your drift. What do I need to know about this place? Because I maybe said to him, I know more about this than you do.
Well, I think James, I'm not taking shots at James at all. I'm saying what he did a good job, and he helped fix schedule. He did some of the things we're talking about, George. I'm not taking any shots at him at all, but it's still the SEC. I mean, who got hurt the worst this year by no non-conference games?
Vandy.
Everybody.
But Vandy, absolutely the worst.
But Vanderbilt got killed because they had no chance to get any form of a breather and get some confidence and feel good about beating somebody. You can talk all you want to your team without success. If it doesn't come, man, it is tough. And it's hard to keep going and have that attitude that we can, if you don't taste it at some point.
I want to ask both of you about this. My opinion, and it's kind of hard to prove, but I know I believe this very strongly. Franklin's group was relentless recruiters. Mason, I never felt the relentless recruiter part and felt like they had no connection in the Middle Tennessee area whatsoever. I would hear that from high school coaches. Of all the things that the next coach has to be, isn't relentless recruiter well above my kiss babies and shake hands?
Absolutely. I mean, that's why I'm talking about having the people in the building to help you find these guys and make sure you go find the best college coaches out there with money to pay them, George. And they're not just X and O dudes, they're recruiters. You've got to go find a better football player. They're out there, but you need help in doing it. And it is very hard. The head coach is gone. If you're a head coach at Vanderbilt or at Rice where I was, you're never home. Because I can remember flying to California and turning around and going to Michigan all in the same day and a half. I mean, that's the way it is if you're going to win. And getting a good enough player and building his confidence with players around him and who you're playing, I don't think you have to stay on that schedule all the way through. But to get it going, you need to help that coach. And as they keep getting better, then you start scheduling a little better guy in the scheduling. But if you don't get good enough players, I say this today, George, if you don't score 30 points a game in the SEC, you're not going to be a winner. You've got to score 30. And you don't score 30 without some good players. There's a lot of good coaches out there that are X's and O's and know how to run an offense, but you got to have players. And to get that, you've got to hit the road at Vanderbilt, and there's no doubt about it.
Terry, close us out.
Well, you know, going back, you know, the whole situation, you know, what Watson brought up is the first step is trying to get this program back to the level of a Kentucky or a Mississippi State or the teams that are in that middle rung. And I think that in itself is a monumental challenge at this point, given how far this program has sunk. And, you know, it's going to take commitment from the university first, and it's going to take hiring the right guy second. And I think the two kind of go hand in hand. And, you know, one without the other, even, you know, like it was with James Franklin, will only work for the short term. It's going to take both in order for this to happen and to be sustained.
The truth of it is this move needed to be made after the UNLV game a year ago. UNLV is one of the worst Division I programs out there, and they came in and boat raced Vandy. And that's when the move needed to be made. Now you're in a year and a half later, and they look like UL Monroe and Texas State. That's really about what they look like. Saturday,
George,
was pathetic.
George, let's throw this and let you go. But maybe we have a chancellor now. We're going to watch it because it's the eyes are on him. You say the eyes of Texas. Well, they're on the chancellor. And maybe we have a guy now that wants to do it. So let's see. Maybe it is the best time as of right now because we might have a guy that wants to do it. I'm anxious to watch and see.
The eyes of Texas are upon us.
Yeah.
We'll go to the break. Chris Lee will join us in a couple of moments. Stick around. You're listening to WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
Kagi's Best Price Plumbing is reminding listeners that the holiday season is here, and there are countless needy and underprivileged children right here in your own community that won't be receiving a gift. Be a guardian angel and help a child in need. Donate a gift to your local Marine Corps drop box. This message is brought to you by Kagi's Best Price Plumbing, serving the area for over 20 years. Give them a call at 615-380-5476. That's 615-380-5476. Kagi's Best Price Plumbing. They're people who care.
Hey guys, it's Zach from Millennial Sports Mornings here to talk to you about Hayes Nissan of Rivergate. They have been serving the Nashville area for more than 28 years with a long-standing tradition of providing outstanding customer service to anyone who steps on their lot. Whether you're looking to buy, lease, or service your vehicle, you can be sure that their team will dedicate themselves to your individual needs. They also offer much more than just legendary customer service. They will help you find the vehicle that fits your lifestyle, personality, and most importantly, your budget. If you like what you hear, then simply call to schedule an appointment at 615-865-7220. Again, that's 615-865-7220. Or you can just stop by at 1550 1550 Gallatin Pike North in Madison. And check them out on the web at NissanOfRivergate.com. And look, you can trust me. Not only am I a spokesperson, but I'm a customer. That's Nissan of Rivergate, where your dollar always goes farther.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance, or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-806-9554. 800-806-9554. 800-806-9554. That's 800-806-9554.
Ladies and gentlemen,
here's a smart suggestion.
Check out the new and improved WNSR.com.
You're going to have to explain that.
It's the new and improved WNSR.com.
With everything a sports fan needs.
We got a whole new attitude.
All the scores. All the highlights. All the updates. All the stories. And even the new website smell from Nashville Sports Radio.
This is the most important religious event of our time.
You keep saying that, but you don't tell me how.
Log on to the new and improved WNSR.com.
Sports Radio, WNSR.
Follow George Plaster on Twitter at GeorgePlasterTN. Now, back to the George Plaster Show on Nashville Sports Radio.
2:41, let's get right to it. Chris Lee knows probably more than anybody when it comes to this whole Vandy football scenario. And he joins us by phone. Chris, thank you.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
My biggest surprise in the 24 hours after Derek Mason's firing is I'm not hearing Mike McIntyre's name as much as I thought I would.
That's a good point. I think there are a lot of times in coaching searches, the newer, shinier objects are the ones that dominate the conversation, and certainly they have some of those. I don't mean to say that in a way to demean any of the candidates, but when you've got some of the guys that are out there that have won some and won recently and are young guys and are interested in the job, and some very good candidates, by the way, I think those are the guys that have floated to the top. I think those are the guys that have been out there having their agents and people in their camp do their work and pave the way ahead of time, Will Healy especially being one. So I'm not saying Mike didn't work as hard or wouldn't work as hard to get the job, but I think that explained a lot of it too.
Chris, it seems to me this go-round that it's going to be more important for the coaches to interview a Daniel Dearmeyer, Candace Lee, whoever, than it will be them the other way. Because, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, for the coaches that are too stupid to ask these questions, they deserve what they get. But the ones who have done their homework, they know what the deal is. They know this school hadn't been committed. So when they ask the questions, what are they going to hear?
I will give Candace Story Lee a lot of credit for the way she handled the press conference we just had with her. Because I had one question, and it was, how do you handle the facilities thing when there is no public plan? And she said, basically, it is not fair for a candidate to walk into a job and not know what to expect. I wouldn't want to do that to anybody. So basically, the way that I read her answer is, we're going to show them what we're planning to do and be very transparent about that. I have heard multiple times today that there are going to be facilities plans released really soon. I have to think if that is true, then based on what she said today, that they're going to show the candidates what they have in mind. Now, what that looks like, I guess we'll wait and see. But she was pretty well prepared for that question.
Watson, say hello to Chris Lee.
Chris Lee, how are you, man? You're a little busy right
now? Hey, Watson, how are you?
I said, are you a little busy right now?
I think I've had I've done six radio things today and a podcast and two TV. I'm so busy I can't speak anymore. Two TV appearances last night. That's just what it's like when you do a coaching search.
And they all pay the same.
That's right.
I don't know if you were even heard any before you came on the things that I talked about, Chris. But I think it's a two piece, and I'm not going to go into everything that I said. But I think the first piece, of course, is the long term, and that's fixing all these facilities and spending a whole lot of money. The immediate piece to me is getting a coach that can excite this community, and I don't believe in that a lot. But in this case, I do. I think it's very important that Vanderbilt gets its piece of the pie in the Nashville, Middle Tennessee community. And it's going to take a name person that would excite everybody to do that. And then they've immediately, to me, Chris, got to give him he needs to hire the best assistants right up with the tops in the SEC. And the only way you do that is throw money out there at them, and I mean a lot of it. And I said the third thing was in the recruiting is we've got to hire all the people we can in a building to recruit, because what's got to improve is players. Now, how do you do that? A lot goes into getting better players. But I think those are the immediate pieces. And I've talked a lot about schedule, Chris. And I just looked up, we talked a little bit about James Franklin, and he had in 12 and 13 when they were so good, he only beat four teams in 2 years with a winning record. I look back at our 1982 team that's one of the best in history, and we went 4-2 in the SEC. We were one game above 500 on that 8-3 team. We went 4-1 in non-conference, and this was the Memphises and Tulanes, and lost to a really good North Carolina team. But you go back and look, we've got to be careful with this schedule, in my personal opinion, as we keep going forward here.
Yeah, you raise a good point. And by the way, that 82 team beat a pretty good Virginia Tech team, if I recall, also. But,
I
think that was one thing that James did. The games weren't always exciting when they're playing UMass, but when you're Vanderbilt, it's baby steps. And beating UMass by 35 is better than getting beat by Oklahoma by 30. So James was smart to really figure that out as part of the equation.
This program is,
you make a good point. It'd be interesting to see where the next guy goes with the schedule.
My last thing, too, because I talked long there, would be, are you getting any timetable here? Are you getting anything out, or are we really wanting to get on with this? Let's talk to people quick. Let's get a coach in here. Are you hearing any timetable yet?
Candace Lee addressed that today. She said she is cognizant that National Signing Day is the 16th. and that they might pick a coach by then, but it wasn't going to dictate the search. So, which I think is a perfectly good answer. I think if you can get a coach by then, it's great for all the reasons we know. But I think it's a very important decision, and I think she's right in not letting that necessarily dictate who they hire and make sure that the process is sound. So I think that's the right approach.
Yeah. Okay.
Chris, you know, going back to what you said about the university having plans for improved facilities and plans for all sorts of things to try and get a new coach and get someone to come here, what are some of the things, if you were the new coach and you were going to take the job, what are some of the things you would want in writing from the university in order to take this job?
I would want to know what the facilities look like. I would want to be guaranteed a state-of-the-art weight room and nutrition sort of things. I would want priority registration for my kids, which is something they can do. I don't know why they haven't. I'm sure there's a million things that I could think of, but I think facilities in terms of what you need to do for player performance, I think stadium upgrades is a big thing. I don't think you need a whole new stadium. I don't think you need a 75,000-seat stadium. But even if you could just do some nicer things to the current facility, that helps. But I think this is probably what they're going to do, is to start on the player performance side. God knows how much that needs updating, and particularly the weight room. I think that is a really good starting point. I'm sure there are other things I can think about, but that and priority registration. And frankly, and I don't know how you write this up, but getting the school out of athletics as much as you can, if that's achievable, would be something that I would hope for too. I just think there have been too many influences and people that have influence on athletic decisions that frankly don't have the qualifications or knowledge. Again, I don't know how you write that up, but if I'm designing something where somebody can succeed, that's a bullet point on my list.
And then on this front, obviously with, you know, the bringing Sarah Fuller on board to do the kicking for Saturday's game, and, you know, whether it was publicity stunt or a move of desperation or, you know, trying to, you know, enlighten and, you know, make, you know, strides for equality, whatever the reason was, it meant that there were a lot more eyes on Vanderbilt football this past Saturday than there normally would be. Do you think in any way, shape, or form the fact that they were so dismal and got shut out by Missouri with so many extra eyes on them, was that in any way factored into the timing of Derek Mason being let go?
You know, it couldn't have helped, but for weeks I have heard that Dearmeyer was ready to move on and they were just waiting for the timing. Candace Lee had a really good answer today when asked about the timing, and she said, we don't want to, in this COVID year where everybody's timing and routine is upset, we don't want to do too much to disrupt our kids as they are. Meaning, as I took it, if you fire a coach in week three, that creates an unstable atmosphere, I guess. Kids are wondering about new coaches and will I play and all sorts of things that would go through your head as a coaching change is made. But she also said, you know, in a non-COVID year, this is really when the season would have ended. The regular season would be ending right now. And then she brought up the national signing date, which is the 16th of December. So piecing that all together, what I read that as is we were looking to find the optimal time to where we had enough time to get ready for what is coming and give our commitments some time to prepare for that. But at the same time, not disrupt our current kids and that staff more than we had to. And so when she put it that way, I don't know if there were other factors or not, but I'm just going by what she said. When she put it that way, the date that they did, it made a lot of sense.
George?
Chris, really appreciate your taking the time. I know you got a lot of stuff going on. I'm sure we'll probably check back in a few more times in the next week or two. Thanks for doing this.
Thank you.
We will wrap up hour number one when we come back.
What about my medical bills?
They'll all be taken care of through the settlement.
What about me?
You worry about getting better. Do what your doctor tells you. We'll take care of the rest.
What a relief.
Martin Durham Injury Law, 615-242-9000.
Texting enrolls you into reoccurring automated text messages. Message and data rates may apply.
Come on, one more rep. You got this.
10.
There it is. Nice work, man. You're a beast.
Thanks, man. I feel better than I have in years. And I got to tell you, taking Nugenix makes a huge difference for me.
Nugenix? That's the testosterone booster with TV ads with Frank Thomas. The big hurt, right?
Oh, yeah. This is a legit product. The key ingredient is Testofen, which helps boost free testosterone levels and increase lean muscle mass.
Well, it's clearly working for you. Hey, are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try for themselves?
Yeah, Nugenix is a great way to increase lean muscle and feel stronger with more energy and endurance.
Man, I need to get a complimentary bottle of Nugenix.
No problem. You just got to send them a text. Text STREAK to 321-321 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix, the number one selling free testosterone booster at GNC. Nugenix samples are not available in stores, so text STREAK to 321-321 right now. Text STREAK to 321-321. That's STREAK to 321-321.
It's time to say see you later, alligator, to embarrassing and troublesome issues with your skin, nails, and hair with all-natural Cayman alligator oil. Cayman oil is locally made, right in Louisiana, where people have been using alligator oil for centuries to treat all kinds of ailments. A drop a day of Cayman oil can help you say see you later, alligator, to athlete's foot, nail fungus, acne, eczema, rashes, dry skin, cuts, infections, MRSA, scars, burns, sunburns, and even ingrown hair and dandruff. If you or someone you know is tired of suffering with any of these skin, nail, and hair troubles, you need to visit mycayman.com to learn more about 100% natural, non-toxic, hypoallergenic Cayman oil and get a bottle today. Say, see you later, alligator, with Cayman alligator oil at mycayman.com. That's my, C-A-I-M-O-N.com. mycayman.com.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-668-0042. 800-668-0042. 800-668-0042. That's 800-668-0042.
Lynch Tree Service has been helping Middle Tennesseans for more than 25 years. Whether you need tree pruning and maintenance, stump grinding, or even land clearing, Lynch Tree Service is here to help. Their number one priority is to provide customers with the best tree services possible at an extremely competitive price. For more info, give them a call at 615-444-4676 or look them up on the web at lynchtreeservice.com.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio, WNSR Skyscan forecast. Cloudy throughout the afternoon. Still some gusty winds and 30% chance of showers continues until about 7 o'clock tonight. Mostly cloudy, lows around 45. Mostly sunny tomorrow for Thanksgiving Day, highs low 60s. Utilizing the resources of the WeatherBug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Joe Gardner.
Sports Radio, WNSR.
Download the WNSR app from your app store and take the George Blaster Show on the go from WNSR Nashville Sports Radio.
Couple of notes to end the hour. Adam Schefter putting out there that it is looking more and more like the Ravens-Pittsburgh game scheduled for tomorrow night is not going to happen. No official announcement yet. And Georgia Athletic Director Greg McGarrity has announced he will retire at the end of the year. Watson, I think that's a pretty good job.
That's a real good job, I'm telling you. And I don't know what brought that on. This COVID might get a whole lot of people before the end of the year. It's been
tough. Because, let's face it, there's no amount of training that could have you ready to deal with all this.
You're right.
That's just the way it is. Terry, anything you want to leave us with?
No, just getting ready for the old Titans update that's got to be coming up here next hour.
Will it be award-winning?
Well, I don't know. I guess that depends on what kind of award it is, yes.
Well, we fully expect it to be because it's, 4 minutes away?
There you go. I got 4 minutes to get my act together is what you're telling me.
Daily Titans update with Get His Act Together Terry McCormick is coming up to start the 3 o'clock hour. We'll let you hear a little of Mike Vrabel's press conference earlier today, and we'll get Watson's analysis of the Titans steamrolling of the Colts. They absolutely were Indy's daddy. Who's your daddy? Indy now knows it's the Titans.
WPDQ, Frankspurrow.
On air and online, Sports Radio WNSR, Brentwood,
ABC News, I'm Andrea Fujii. Arizona has officially certified its election results, declaring Joe Biden and Mark Kelly the winners of the presidential and Senate races, respectively. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy is reimposing some COVID-19 restrictions, including pausing all indoor youth and adult sports.
Effective 6 a.m. Monday, December 7th, and until further notice, the gathering limit for all outdoor activities will be no more than 25 individuals.
Governor Andrew Cuomo says hospital capacity is now the biggest concern in New York State.
The COVID Grinch is an opportunist, and the COVID Grinch sees this as the season of viral transmission.
Los Angeles County is under a new stay-at-home order. Congressional leaders are returning to Capitol Hill to once again try to hammer out a COVID-19 stimulus package. Congress also has to pass another spending bill before December 11th to avert a government shutdown. This is ABC News.
Let's be real. Mopping is a hassle. You have to fill the bucket, pushing a wet, heavy mop around, then cleaning the mop when you're done so it doesn't grow bacteria. A hassle on top of a hassle. Try Swiffer WetJet. With Swiffer WetJet, you start with a fresh pad and cleaning solution every time. And when you're done, you just toss the pad. Swiffer WetJet, the faster, easier, cleaner way to clean your floors.
Dell Technologies has announced their Cyber Monday sale. They're releasing new doorbusters every weekday, plus up to 50% off cutting-edge tech for your business. There's no better time to upgrade your small business with the latest laptops and desktops with Intel Core processors, plus there's free shipping on everything. Yes, everything. Give Dell Technologies advisors a call. They'll identify the right tech solution for your business. Call 877-ASK-DELL or go to dell.com/SPCyberMonday. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
With football season approaching, oftentimes I give, quote, gifts to the people. And among the many of you who are not big fans of that segment is my buddy and former BGA classmate, James Warren, who runs Sir Speedy. James, talk to me.
So, George, I've learned if I want to quit losing money, I quit listening to the gifts for the people.
Thank you.
There's no better way to say that. But if you do want a sure bet, come to Sir Speedy Music City for your print, your sign, all your mailing services. You'll always win.
And so while you're not a big fan of gifts to the people, you think there are some sure bets out there. So give people some particulars.
Without a doubt, you can get us at surfspeedymusiccity.com. Our phone is 615-832-9511 or print at surfspeedymusiccity.com.
And by the way, in spite of the lack of support, there will be gifts to the people in the near future.
The Nashville Sports Radio Media Complex. Welcome back to the George Plaster Show. Call George now at 615-844-5600 and online at WNSR.com. And now, George Plaster.
And we welcome all of you into the 3 o'clock hour. We sort of did it a little backwards today. We talked about the Vandy coaching situation during the 2 o'clock hour. Now we're going to get into the Titans' beatdown of Indianapolis yesterday up in Indy. Terry McCormick's Daily Titans Update will get it kicked off. Terry, you were there. It was pretty shocking.
Yeah, it really was. I think after the first quarter, a lot of people expected just a pure shootout. It was, you know, both teams scored on their first two possessions, and it looked for all the world like it was going to be a 41-35 type of game. But the Titans' defense kind of got its act together, and I think it was like 7 straight possessions they held the Colts without a score. I think 4 straight punts to end the first half, and that was a big factor in them being able to go up there and emerge with a win.
How'd they come out injury-wise?
Pretty good. I don't think that anybody really suffered any injuries in this game that wasn't already injured. Brett Kern made it through, did just fine punting. The interesting thing in that was he had a protective brace that was on his left hand for when he had to hold for extra points and field goals, but he didn't have it on while he was punting. So I guess it was just a kind of a precautionary measure, but he was able to make it through just fine. They were able to get David Long out there, and I thought he did a really good job coming in after coming off the COVID list and having pretty much zero practice time this week, but he was able to go in and fill in for an injured Jayon Brown for most of the game. Will Compton started at that inside linebacker spot, but they quickly went to David Long to get a faster player on the field, and I thought he did a pretty good job of containing the Colts tight ends and also Himes, the running back, who had really burned them in the first game.
Terry, they now have put themselves in a position where they're the leader in the clubhouse in the division, and with road wins at both Baltimore and at Indy, which, let's be honest, nobody saw that coming, they're now the 3 seed, which means they would get a home playoff game in January.
Right, and that's something that has not happened here in Nashville since 2008. It's been almost 12 years, George, since the Titans last hosted a playoff game, and that was one of the things that Mike Vrabel and this team set about wanting to do this year, was not to have to go the long, hard road if they got to the playoffs and have to go on the road like they have the last couple of times that they've been in the postseason. Now, last year, you know, and even in 2017, you know, they have gone on to get some wins away from Nissan Stadium, but as you guys know, it's so much better when you can play those playoff games at home and not have to do all the travel and be the underdog and do the extra things. And I think that if they can hold serve over these last 5 weeks, they're going to set themselves up nicely to have at least one home game in the playoffs, maybe more.
Leave me with one last thought.
All right, George. One of the things that the Titans did a lot, and Watson might want to expound upon this when he starts to break down the game, one of the things that the Titans did, they started David Quisenberry yesterday at left tackle. First career start for him. He's a cancer survivor. He's been with the Houston Texans. That's when he had the cancer treatments. He's been here with the Titans as a backup and a lot of times on the practice squad. He was really emotional after the game talking about getting his first career start. And one of the things that they did And Quisenberry did a good job with this, but one of the things that they did yesterday was to establish the run, and that offensive line was blowing people off the ball, not only with those five guys, but they ran a lot of two and three tight end sets to make sure that they got Derrick Henry going early and often in that ball game. 140 of his 178 yards came in the first half, and he scored three touchdowns.
Good for him. Man, that is a great story right there. Terry McCormick's Daily Titans Update, brought to you by Frosty the Snowman. It's snowing pretty good over here in West Nashville. Is it amounting to anything? No. But it's pretty. Let's check in on what Mike Vrabel had to say more than 24 hours after the big win against Indy.
Background's better than mine. I'm just in my home office. Mike, what's the challenge for this team now? You've got coming home after two big back-to-back road wins. Is it challenge or more opportunity to try to add another big win to the list?
No, it's about getting back and basically resetting, trying to carry over and play with the confidence and the things that we're doing well and build momentum through the week, prepare for a new opponent, one that we don't know as much about, just because of the new coaching staff and the time in which we've played this team last. This is a talented team. Excellent running the football. Number one in the league in running the football. They're really good on both sides of the ball and in the red zone. So there's a lot of things that we're going to have to be prepared for. And hopefully we can build off of the things that we've done well the last 2 weeks.
Jim?
And, Mike, I guess the reason for the new scenery is because of the enhanced, protocols from across the league. How does that affect what you do and what will Wednesday be like when you come back in there?
Well, I would imagine that Wednesday is going to be exactly like it was last Wednesday, that we'll operate our meetings in the bubble, that we'll have grab-and-go meals. We'll operate with two locker rooms. We'll operate with two weight rooms with no more than 10 players or in there at a time. We'll make sure that everybody's wearing masks and face coverings when they get treatment and while they're in the meetings. And that's what we've done. As far as working from home, the process hasn't changed. We were trying to prepare for Cleveland. Met with John and Todd, about the roster, and then just keep getting ready and be able to get these guys back here on a Wednesday and operate with whatever the league tells us is best and safest for our players.
Teron?
Coach, when you look at guys like Jamal Anderson and Larry Johnson who had – pretty excessive workloads, then had a drop off the season after. With Derek and 256 carries at this point, is there any concern or do you try to balance how many carries he finishes up with?
Teron, we play Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt this week. I don't even remember Jamal Anderson or whoever you referenced. So
Larry Johnson.
Larry Johnson. Yeah. We're just trying to get ready for the Cleveland Browns, and that's what our focus is.
But, I mean, knowing that Derek is such a big part of your offense and then seeing how guys in the past have had a drop-off, do you try to manage his carries or is it just kind of we're going to do whatever it takes? How do you approach that?
Going to try to prepare to beat the Cleveland Browns this week.
Fair enough.
Devin,
Mike, are you starting to think that if you had to deal with a COVID outbreak, better to have it happen when it did for you guys and everybody could sort of get accustomed to what's going on as opposed to some teams having to deal with it at this point in the schedule?
No, David, I don't want that to ever come across as like, oh, we're gonna get something over with. What we dealt with was unfortunate and we handled it the best that we felt like we could. Every team is different. Every situation is different. I'm proud of the fact that the past few cases that we had were isolated with zero close contacts. And that's a testament to our players, our staff. One of our team leaders, a guy that I have a lot of respect for, was in the locker room yesterday and reminded guys as they were excited to put their mask on, Roger Saffold. And so everybody's aware of it. And it certainly takes a group effort because, you know, as you can see, these close contacts can set you back and force players to not be available.
John Glennon.
Yeah, Mike, looked like David Long had a pretty good game yesterday. I know you mentioned last week that he would kind of be playing a big role going forward. And I'm wondering, is that because you had seen improvement in his game, you know, whether in practice or not, or was it just simply because you need that skill set without Jayon Brown being in there?
I think it's a combination of a few things, John, and, you know, his ability to continue to improve. You know, and when you play behind a good player, you know, and somebody that's playing a lot of snaps for you, it's you know, signal caller on defense, you know, it's hard to create, sometimes hard to create opportunities. And, you know, I think David will be prepared and again, will be a large part of what we do going forward. And it was good to see him back out there. He anticipating that he should have a great week of practice this week and help us against the Browns.
Sure. And how did he do in terms of, you know, when he was taking the plays in from Shane? Did he handle that pretty decently?
I mean, I'm not, you know, I don't have access to that type of technology, so I can only go by what I saw. It looked like he was trying to communicate and get the call, and it wasn't an issue, if that's what you mean. But I don't know what it sounds like when he gives the call, just like you wanted. I'm standing on the sidelines.
Thank you.
Buck?
Hey, Mike. Along those same lines with David and with Will, when you're rotating him in like that, how did that kind of – I guess what advantages did you get out of rotating both of them through, and how did you see both of them respond in that particular situation?
We didn't have access to David on the practice field until Saturday, which is a walkthrough and a flight to Indy. So, you know, we had met with him when, throughout the week, but, you know, that's a tall task having been away and physically what he was going to look like after passing through the cardiovascular ramp up. I think it was a good start. I thought he was prepared, and I thought both of those guys knew what we were trying to do and get done in the game plan.
Paul?
Is your plan, Mike, to do with Kaiser what you did with Trevor? We know Kaiser was out there with you on Friday. Once he's up to speed, are you intending for him to be kind of the designated survivor?
The plan would be to, you know, try to keep him as safe and everybody else as safe as possible. So, you know, I think he'll continue to probably Zoom meet and then, you know, get a workout in after practice, after guys, you know, go back in.
Okay, so that's a little bit of Mike Vrabel's press conference from earlier today. We're going to go to the break. Then we will get you Watson's analysis. And then we'll open up the phones, let's say around 3:30, give or take a minute or two. We'll have a couple of lines that are open. I have a feeling there are a few of you want to talk. 844-5600 is our number. If you want to go ahead and get in now, we'll go ahead and open the phones. 844-5600, that is our number. Watson, let's talk to folks about a good friend of ours, Jody Jones, and this wonderful dental practice that he has with the new location at 55 Music Square East.
George, let's start with all we're dealing with now and all this COVID and everything that all these families are scared about, and yet you need to get your family to doctors, to dentists, to get the dental work done, whatever. You walk in the place and you just feel so comfortable. They've got everything wiped down. Everything is clean. They're taking such special care in that way. They understand what's going on right now. And it just fits into the whole practice to me. I mean, everything they do that I see is absolutely George first class. And it's all about the patient. It's all about the person walking in the door. And they want to make them feel good. They want to make them feel like they're getting taken care of in the way that they want to be. And yet there's a positive attitude throughout the building and, of course, the building itself with what Jody and the amount of money he spent to do this and to put into this facility. We say it all the time. I truly believe it. You can't get a better place to go for you, your family, whoever. Get the appointment and get there, and then you're going to understand when you go on how we feel about this.
259-5100 is the number. If you want to call and get an appointment, again, 259-5100. Or you can learn more. Go on Jody's website and learn more about the practice. It's JodyJonesDDS.com.
Blair, what about my medical bills?
They'll all be taken care of through the settlement.
What about me?
You worry about getting better. Do what your doctor tells you. We'll take care of the rest.
What a relief.
Mark Durham Injury Law, 615-242-9000.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
Your daughter just had her first breakup. Do you A, put yourself in her shoes?
How could he do this to you? And for Sheila, she has split ends.
B, console her.
Oh, sweetie, this is going to happen a lot. 4, maybe 5 more times before you get married.
C, take charge.
Got to get this all straightened out. Keep a little talking to man, mano a mano. Hey, Steve! It's now a good time? No? Okay, no problem. Bye.
Or D, help her find a new boyfriend.
I know a great place to meet boys. The internet. Nice, single boys. Never mind. How about some ice cream?
As a parent, there are no perfect answers. But you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Radnor Wine and Spirits has been serving the greater South Nashville area since 1976. Locally owned and operated, we're here to help you celebrate anniversaries, birthdays, or anything you have to celebrate. We have a large selection of wine, spirits, and high-gravity beers that can fulfill any want you have. Visit us at 4685 Trousdale Drive in Nashville, or give us a follow on Instagram at Radnor Liquors 615. That's Radnor Wine and Spirits in Nashville.
George Plaster and Watson Brown to talk with you about a friend of ours, Jody Jones Dentistry. And Watson, we've both visited this beautiful new studio he has in the Music Row area. Man, it is spectacular.
It sure is. And I've known Jody George since he was a kid. His mom and dad, Doug and Lucy, are as good of friends as I have. It was an honor to coach Jody at Vanderbilt. And Jody was one of those tough guys, very smart, highly competitive, unbelievable work ethic. It does not surprise me that he's had a wonderful dentist practice as he does.
22 years worth, and it includes cosmetic dentistry, veneers, crowns, laser bleaching, and they have a hygiene department with microscope technology. If you want an appointment, you simply call them at 615-259-5100 or go on their website, JodyJonesDDS.com.
Need the perfect gift for the NFL fan in your life? Go to NFLShop.com and get their favorite player's jersey, personalized gifts, or next favorite hat. With daily holiday deals and the ultimate gift guide, NFLShop.com has you covered. Shop now for the most up-to-date assortment for all 32 teams, including face coverings. You'll choose from the largest selection of NFL gifts anywhere. NFL Shop is the destination for their favorite team's gear. Head to NFLShop.com today to start checking off your gift list.
Five State Forecast.
your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast. Temperatures falling throughout the afternoon. Rain changes over to snow showers and wind gusts up to 25 miles per hour. Overnight tonight, slight chance of flurries up until midnight. Mostly cloudy skies. Temperatures drop to the mid-20s. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Joe Gardner.
Sports Radio WNSR.
Call the George Plaster Show now at 844-5600.
3:22, and it's time for Watson Brown's analysis of what's going on with the Tennessee Titans. Then we will open up the phones around 3:30, give or take a minute or two. 844-5600. I know there's one caller on the line, and I got room for one more. So go ahead and jump on in there. So, Watson, truthfully, none of us saw coming a win at Baltimore and then a win at Indy. So what has changed to allow that?
Well, I think the one yesterday, it was easier to see because they were shorthanded in quite a few ways. The win at Baltimore now, that was a good one. But I want to give the Titans credit for taking total advantage of where the shortcomings were to their opponent, George. Let's take the offense first. They're missing two major guys up front in the run game and had defensive issues going into the game. We went in with a game plan of right at them. I mean, Terry made a comment to it. They ran a lot of eye formation looks with a tight end or a fullback in the backfield. They had a lot of 2-3 tight end people in on it. I mean, it was run right at them, and they knew where the weakness was in the game, and they took full advantage of it. I mean, in the first half, full advantage. In the second, you turn to the other side of the ball, and they had two linemen out in the game going into the game, and Phillip Rivers had a toe problem all week and was questionable for the game. And they came after them a lot more than they did the first game. They brought five-man pressures a whole lot more, which very smart to me, knowing that Phillip was sore, doesn't move well anyway, but he sure can't with a bad toe, and two linemen missing, played a ton of zone coverage in the first game. Hines beat us so many times, our linebackers, Jalen Brown mostly, but both linebackers tried to cover him and couldn't in a lot of man coverage situations. And we played in a lot more zone yesterday, made them work for everything they get. And Phillip wasn't near as sharp in this game as he was. I'm not sure the coverage didn't have something to do with it. The windows weren't huge. And we got to play more dime, which means we got to take another linebacker out and play a sixth defensive back, in certain situations after we got the lead, and that helped our speed on the field a lot in the game. So I thought the game plan of knowing where they're shorthanded and taking full advantage of it really showed yesterday, and kudos on the game plans.
Watson, tonight, DK Metcalf is going to get a ton of pub, as well he should, for his work with the Seahawks. Is basically A.J. Brown a less publicized Metcalf?
That's the way it was in college. Metcalf at Ole Miss got most, and then here's A.J. We've got two men on our offensive team that are in the tops in the league, and Derrick Henry and A.J. Brown. I mean, and they're making plays. And one quick thing off of that to me, I say this a lot, and I want to say it again. I sit and watch the Titans game with the Colts, and then I watched the Bucs against the Chiefs. And I watch our team, the Titans, play on offense. The throws that our quarterback gets to throw to one guy and throw to a check down, and a lot of the times the one guy is open, and he does a great job of that. And yet, if you watch, we're old-time play calling, and I love it. What we do is we go in with a run game plan against you,
And how you're going to stop that run, we have a pass to go to off of that run. That's not the normal college football way of doing things. It's how many are in the box and we're going to throw it out in space. This is absolutely old-time football, and it really helps the quarterback. Then I go and watch Brady play, and, man, every throw for him is tough. He doesn't move around in the pocket great anyway, as Ryan does, but he's having to look here, look over here, high-low on this side, five men out. The difference in the type of offenses of the two is fantastic to watch. Now, to do what we do, you got to run it really well. And that's why I go back to Derrick Henry and our offensive line. If we don't have those two pieces, and we've lost one of those pieces in Lewan, but the other four have been, we're getting better and better, and it sets up everything we do, George. Everything from running the ball sets up everything else in the game plan.
2 weeks ago, you wouldn't have given a nickel for this team, and it looked like they were falling apart. Now they get road wins in Baltimore and in Indy against the Colts. Your gut feeling, what is what's the limit now? What's the ceiling of what we have a right to expect from this team?
When we're good on offense, we're right there with the Chiefs. When we're good in our style, we may not score as many points overall, but in our style, when we're good, we're as good as anybody. If what happened is when we started winning again, they knew exactly what we talked about on the air, George. They said, we got to get back and give it to this dude right here and everything come off of it and eat clock and keep leads. And we got to get back to our style. They knew it. They knew it, and they got back to it, and that's why they're winning again. And they're figuring out what they can do on defense, because we got to hang on defense and beat you with our offense. If we can do that, we're as good as any. If our offense is really on and we're running the football well, we're hard to stop. We're as hard to stop as anybody in the NFL.
3:30 is the time. I want to give you all some opportunity off things that have gone on over the last 24 to 36 hours to get in your opinions, in particular about the Vanderbilt situation, Titans, whatever. We're going to open up the lines. Zach, still got one line open?
We are booked up.
Okay. Then, if you will, text me the other one. Eric in Nashville, welcome into WNSR.
First of all, George, I just want to say I hope you and Watson and Terry, that y'all had a great Thanksgiving holiday.
We did, and I hope you did as well.
Oh, yeah. It was good considering the circumstances, George. I'm going to get to Titans in a minute, but one quick thing I will say about Vanderbilt, because I know I don't want to talk about it, George, but I just want to say, you know, because I know you're a hardcore Vanderbilt fan, and I feel bad for guys like you and Kenny the Mailman and Clay and Vandy Lance and Tony, a lot of the support of the program that you're having to go through this. Of course, heard where Jeff Fish apparently is actively campaigning for the job. He may be careful because he may get what he wished for, but especially with what's going on over there, I just don't know why he'd want it. Hopefully, if he did get it, he'd be able to do the things he needs to do for that program. But all I'll say is we'll have to wait and see on that. But, George, real quick about the Titans, this is what I want to say. And I just want to say, Watson, I'm not picking at you, but this is what I just wanted to pick. I wanted to make. 2 weeks ago, the Colts here came in here and beat us. Everybody was talking about the Colts. All make great blocks on special teams. They played a great defense job. We didn't talk about the fact that we didn't have our regular punter, Brett Kern. Didn't talk about the fact that both Taylor Lewan and the other guy was hurt out. And, of course, Derrick Henry still ran for over 100 yards. In fact, I think he was on the back up to then that did that. And he did again yesterday. But we didn't talk about all the injury. They were just talking about the fact probably that the Colts overtook the control of the division. That really wasn't talked about by national media. But now flip it. We get to yesterday's game. I hear most from national media. I mean, there's some getting Titans praise. I'm hearing, oh, they were back down the defensive player because of COVID, and that running back didn't play yesterday, and that they lost lineman during the game. And we're, of course, still dealing with injuries. We had a punter back, but we still had Quisenberry who came in, did a spectacular job. And, of course, it was 14-14 until the Titans steps up a little more defense. So we've just got as much injuries as they do. So, you know, we just took control of the game and, you know, not trying to knock the Colts or anything like that. Maybe those players coming back it would have been better for them, but it is what it is, and I won't apologize for it. We won the game, and I'm happy we won the game, especially like that little ending where I guess A.J. Brown on that little hop for the onside kick right in for the touchdown, which I thought was just a great play. But somebody else made a point yesterday, which I wholeheartedly agree with. Everybody's talking about Dave Kramer, which is great, but with A.J. Brown and Corey Davis coming together, if they really keep coming together along with Derrick Henry, this offense really can come into its own. And it's also the fact, too, is that we really didn't have a lot from the tight end yesterday as far as catching the ball, which we normally get like so just want to get your guys' thought on that. Take care, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, Eric. Terry, I want to start with you. Has Corey Davis shown him enough to want to re-sign him?
I think they probably would want to re-sign him. The question is, are they going to be able to afford it? Because not only is he a free agent, Jayon Brown is a free agent, and Jonnu Smith is a free agent. So they've got several guys that they're going to have to make some decisions on in terms of who's coming back and who's not. And Corey Davis, I said it at the start of the year, that if he had a good year, he would probably do a lot like Jack Conklin did and play himself out of their price range.
Yeah.
That may be what he's doing right now.
Watson, you want to comment on anything there?
No, what Eric said, I think give the Titans a pat on the back. Everybody in this league has injuries. Every week, somebody's missing something here, somebody's missing something there. What the Colts were missing, our guys took advantage of. And I think that's what it's all about. As we had the problems when we were missing some guys at different places that we've struggled with. He's right. Eric's right in special teams. We got our guy back, and it's a little different in the punt game when we have Kern. I mean, he's maybe the best in the NFL. And so I just think they took advantage of what they saw. And that, to me, is what it's all about. That's how you win games.
Let's go Clay in Nashville. Clay, welcome into WNSR.
George, I finally figured this out. When you said the snow was coming down in West Nashville, mm-hmm. I think the studio would be considered South Nashville. But I get it now. You're doing the show from home. Is that correct?
Today I am, yes.
Didn't want to drive in the snow.
No, that wasn't it, but I mean, I realize there's some friends of mine that'll put that out there because my driving in the snow has not exactly been, you know, what they teach at driver's ed.
He didn't want to put pants on, Clay. That's what it was.
Oh, that's...
Wow.
No.
George, you know what? The reason why I like your show now as much as I do, when it's kind of open phones and you can say, you know, kind of whatever you want to say, touch mm-hmm. on whatever... level of sports you want to touch on. You have a college football expert, and you have a professional football expert on your show. So,
and then you have a third guy who's not an expert at anything.
So I'm going to start with my friend Big Boy up on the plateau.
Okay.
Watson, how are you, Big Boy?
I'm doing good, my man. We're looking at about an inch of snow on the ground since this show started.
Really?
Yes. The patio is completely covered. Looked like about an inch of snow on it. So interesting.
It's November.
Is it sticking to the road too, Watson?
I don't know. I'm not looking in that direction. I can't tell. I'm looking in toward the back here.
We'll do a snowbird report shortly.
There you go.
Watson, I found out about 1 o'clock yesterday. I got a call from a friend of mine, and I don't know, you know, and I'm assuming Candace and Derek, you know, had a face-to-face meeting, I would assume, but I found out about 1 o'clock yesterday afternoon, and I felt the same way I did the day I found out you fired. You know, I don't feel sorry for Derek Mason. He's going to walk away, you know, with a lot of money. I do think that Derek Mason did a decent job with what, you know, he had to work with. I don't think he had, you know, the support as far as facilities, you know, from the administration. We're hearing hopefully that's going to come in the near future. And as I said the other day, that's something I would demand if I was, you know, to sit down and interview with Candace and the Chancellor, John Ingram, whoever. So it's sad in one way, but it's also exciting to me in another way because, you know, and let me say this. George, you said, you know, that a lot of people that apathy, or maybe it was Terry said that apathy has set in. And maybe that's a good point. Maybe that's true. But I think all you guys on the show know I care about Vanderbilt football, and I always will.
Oh, absolutely. Listen, but you know as well, you've seen the dwindling numbers. It's embarrassing.
Yeah, it is, George. You're right. And Saturday's performance was embarrassing. I mean, I watched the whole game. I watch every game. That's just how I roll because I care about this football program. But, Watson, I'm hearing, you know, that they maybe Candace is going to make it important or has made the statement that she wants an offensive-minded coach. I don't know, you know, offensive-minded, defensive-minded. I think the important thing is we've got to get the right coach this time that's going to, you know, make this program more competitive. And like Terry said, you know, get us closer to that middle rung of the SEC, which I think is possible.
It's very possible. And I don't think it has to be either one. You've just got to make sure you have an offensive guy that's really good because you're not going to win ball games in the SEC consistently, Clay. In today's world, unless you score 30 or more points, it takes points to win games. And the style of play, the fastness, the openness, the things that they're doing that weren't happening in the 80s and kind of started a little bit in the 90s, but really picked up in the 2000s, and it's gotten more and more so. You've got to score points to win games in the SEC. When you get a defensive guy like Nick Saban that figured that out, and went after Lane Kiffin, Sarkisian, I can't talk today. He knew exactly what he had to do. And what did he do in recruiting? Man, he changed his ways. He went after flies. I mean, they can fly. And he's got receivers now that can make plays. The Derrick Henrys of the world that have played there. I mean, he realized, I got to change my thought process. We're not going to beat you on defense now. We've got to score points and play solid defense.
On to Mr. Titan quickly. Terry, I got to be honest. I didn't see the Titans, you know, putting a butt whipping on the Indianapolis Colts like that. But, you know, where I said last week I thought the Titans just wanted that game more than the Ravens. And, you know, since the game I've kind of found myself thinking that I think the Indianapolis or the Tennessee Titans – we're just sick and tired of losing the Indianapolis Colts. And they went up there, you know, with a plan that they thought would work to beat them. And I've got to give a huge amount of credit to the coaching staff, but to the players too, because, you know, coaches, you know, put together schemes, game plans, things like that. But players make those, you know, things work and execute the game plan, thing like that. And Derrick Henry was just a beast yesterday. They couldn't stop him. I'm simply amazed, as a Vanderbilt fan, I watched A.J. Brown, you know, play a lot for Ole Miss, especially when he played against Vanderbilt. That guy is just a beast. I think he's one of the top receivers in the NFL. What do you think about that?
Got to run on that, Clay. Thank you. Terry, thanks. Go.
Yeah, I think, you know, A.J. Brown is one of the guys that is electric with the football in his hands. And there have been people that have talked about the combination of size and speed that he possesses. They say it's sort of like Derrick Henry, you know, except that he's catching a pass and turning up field with it rather than taking a handoff or a toss. He has that same type of ability to not only run over people, but to run away from people. And I think, you know, he's coming into his own as one of the really good young wide receivers in the NFL. And in terms of what you said about the Titans were probably just sick of losing to the Colts, I think that's probably partly true because they did not play very well in that first game. Special teams was a disaster. Ryan Tannehill had probably one of his worst games as a Titan in that ball game. And I think that collectively they went up there with the mindset of being the more physical team and the team that wanted to dictate the tempo and dictate the terms of what was going to go on. And that's exactly what they did.
Okay, we're going to go to the break. Tony in Nolensville will be the leadoff hitter when we come back. Let me check in with my buddy Caleb Clifford and the folks over at Doobie Orthopedics. Caleb, hope you're doing well.
Oh, yeah, I'm doing great, George. How about yourself?
Doing good. So let's talk a little bit. We've just finished one holiday. We're moving into another one. People do a lot of eating and drinking more than they should. What kind of problems does that cause when it comes to joints and all that kind of stuff?
Well, you know, the more weight you have on your body, the more effect gravity is going to obviously take effect and the more pressure you're going to put on your joints. So we like to say that if the lighter the load, the less stress you got. So you want to sit there and say, hey, we're going to eat. Well, just take a minute, get up, walk around the house a little bit before you take that nap. Everybody's been in a turkey coma. But just to get up and move a little bit, whether that be walk up the stairs, come back down, walk around, just get moving, George.
How about stretch?
Well, we can always stretch.
I was shocked I didn't hear that from you. Okay. If somebody has an ailment that they think you all can help them with, how do they make an appointment?
Just pick up the phone and dial us at 615-391-4545. And as usual, tell them Caleb sent you.
Caleb, I'll talk to you soon. We'll go to the break on that. Leaves the line open, 844-5600. Somebody jump in as we open the phones here on the show.
The award-winning Bob's Steak and Chop House, located in the Omni Nashville Hotel, is a nationally renowned steakhouse specializing in the finest corn-fed Midwestern prime beef. The menu formula is simple. Incredible meat, gigantic shrimp, fabulous salads, and decadent desserts. Classic steakhouse food prepared and presented in a manner that Bon Appetit calls the kind of fare you'll want to go back for again and again. Voted one of the top 50 restaurants in the country by Travel and Leisure magazine, and one of only 11 steakhouses in America that serves A5 Wagyu beef. Bob's Steak and Chop House is ready to host your private holiday parties and get-togethers. And if you need a stocking stuffer, there's no better gift than a Bob's Steak and Chop House gift card. To book your private holiday party, call 615-761-3707. Located downtown at the Omni Nashville Hotel, Bob's Steak and Chop House.
You wanted to see me?
Yes, please, have a seat. So here's the thing. When this company brought you on, we took a chance on you. You didn't have that 4-year college degree we typically look for.
Right.
But we gave you a shot anyway. And since then, you've worked incredibly hard and given it your all.
Thanks.
You've been an important asset to the team, but I don't think you can be an intern here anymore. We want to hire you.
You're serious?
Absolutely.
Find your next great employee. Introduce yourself to the grads of life. Who are they? Talent worth knowing about. Young adults of unique determination and experience. An ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or even mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
I won't let you down.
I know.
Don't miss out on a resource many innovative companies have already discovered. Go to gradsoflife.org to learn how to find, cultivate, and train this great pool of untapped talent. Brought to you by the Ad Council and gradsoflife.org.
The Locksmith Company, our full-service locksmithing expert, is reminding motorists to slow down on our roadways and keep an eye out for children at play and never text and drive. This message is from the Locksmith Company. For all your residential, commercial, or automotive locksmithing needs, call today for a free estimate or 24/7 emergency service at 931-801-5427. That's 931-801-5427. And visit thelsco.com. The Locksmithing Company is looking forward to seeing you. And now, Riser Welding and Repair is reminding Americans to stand tall and show support to the brave and honorable men and women who fought and continue to fight to secure the safety of our country and American way of life. Their tireless efforts should never go unnoticed. This message is brought to you by Riser Welding and Repair, serving Middle Tennessee and the surrounding area with quality and pride. For all your metal fabricating needs, give the pros a call today at 615-585-4076. That's 615-585-4076. Riser Welding and Repair. They're professionals who care.
This is Johnny Ballpark Franks inviting you to join me every Saturday from 10 a.m. to noon for the Countdown to Kickoff Tailgate Show. I'll have college football insights from the SEC to the Top 25, previews, interviews, scoreboard updates, and more. Brought to you by Innsbank, Strike and Spare Family Entertainment, real estate agent Richard Courtney with Frederick and Clark Realty, Braza Flooring, Casa of Nashville, and the Tennessee Highway Safety Office. Every Saturday morning at 10 on Nashville Sports Radio.
Sports Radio, WNSR.
The man, the myth, the legend, the Plaz. The George Plaster Show on WNSR Nashville Sports Radio.
Okay, let's get to it on a snowy Monday afternoon. Tony in Nolensville, welcome.
Good afternoon, guys. Hello, Terry. Terry, your report with the Titans, with you getting to go up there and see the game, do you travel with the team, Terry, or do you drive your own car and so?
I travel myself.
Actually, he has a limo.
That's not true. I was just curious if they had your, you know, if they put you in wheels up or if, or how that transpired, because I've been over to the airport before, seen when the team departs, and Terry, it seems now they depart on two different planes, don't they?
Yeah, I think they probably are doing more of that. You know? And, you know, one of the things, you know, the riders are pretty much, they're on their own. None of the riders travel with the team. Now, I know with the Predators, because they go on road trips, and I'm talking about under normal conditions, not COVID conditions, but under normal conditions, I know that the Predators used to take the beat riders on the flight with them because they would go and make, you know, three or four different stops on a week and a half road trip and that sort of thing. But the Titans, with them, the riders and the TV people are always on their own to get to and from.
Okay.
If you wore deodorant,
would you get a safe trip? And, of course, it makes it a little easier drive coming back after a victory like that. No doubt. Watson, you and George, I was expected to call y'all today. I was going to talk a little bit something of, you know, over the football weekend, and one thing I was going to lead into was about how Syracuse lost their game. I guess y'all saw that. It was the darndest thing I've ever seen with a quarterback. Ooh. He just totally lost track of time, down, and everything else.
Yep.
That was really crazy. That, after seeing that, you know now why they're 1-8 or 1-6, whatever they are up there at Syracuse.
Although, in fairness, they never get close enough to have to spike.
That's true. But he was, what was he, 30 yards back or 25 yards back from the original third and goal?
No.
And he did it on fourth down. It was terrible. The Vandy situation, guys, I think all of us and all of y'all have all been right. Everything, what everybody is saying is correct. Watson, you're right about the first thing you got to do, you've got to get that personality coach in here who the sidewalk alumni in the Middle Tennessee and a 125-mile radius, that sidewalk alumni, get us back in there. Get us to be a part, want to be a part of that program, and let's take it from there. Of course, the money that you've got to have to build the facilities, to upgrade, that's got to be done. But the Watson, the things you mentioned, Vanderbilt's got that money over there now. They could do those immediate things. We all know they got several, I've been told before, $4 billion endowment over there, maybe even more. But they've got to do those things, and they've got to get that coach in here who can pull the recruits, connect to the fan base, connect to the student body, and then start getting that schedule fixed. And Watson, I've said it for years. You get that four, you've got four non-conference. Well, you're going to have one game of those four that's going to be a tough one. And if you can win three of those four, if not all four, all you got to do, guys, is win two or three in the conference. And all the Vanderbilt fans have ever wanted, George, y'all know this, we've always just wanted to be a part of the party. We want to go to a dance every once in a while. Do we think we're going to really win the SEC the way things have been? No, I don't. It'd be an unbelievable, miraculous year for us to pull off and win the SEC one year. But I think Vanderbilt's always had a team that they could feel, that they could go to the dance, go to the parties, and go to a bowl game and have that type of group. And I think we've talked about that.
Hey, Tony.
I'm going to leave you alone, George. Maybe you can get another caller in. But, guys, I'm glad everybody had a great, safe Thanksgiving weekend, and talk to y'all later.
Thank you for the call. Let me get Bob in Antioch. Bob, got about 2.5 minutes.
Thank you. I just got off work, so I don't know what you said earlier, but I've been a Vanderbilt fan since Jack Green. He preceded Bill Pace. And to me, the problem is not with the coaches, it's with the administration. Do you have any hope at all that the administration will get behind the football program and, for that matter, the entire athletic program? I'll listen off air.
Have no way of knowing, but I think the nice thing is it's time to cut the crap. The coaches are going to ask these questions, and this guy Dearmeyer better have the answers.
George, I talked about it earlier. I agree. I think that it might be the best time for this to have happened, because we've got a new man, and we're going to know real quick from the top what his true feelings are and how he feels about athletics and within athletics football.
Okay, Terry, what do you got? I think I know what it is, but let's hear it.
Okay. George, according to Field Yates, with their current quarterback situation, the Broncos, who were quarterbackless yesterday, will be trying out Kyle Shermer, son of current offensive coordinator Pat Shermer.
And if that doesn't work, Jay Cutler's available.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
If that doesn't work, Watson Brown is available.
Hey, let me tell you something.
Yeah.
Kyle Shermer kept Derek Mason employed about 3 extra years. He was that good.
Yep. Yes,
interesting. Okay, we'll wrap this baby up when we come back.
Blair, what about my medical bills?
They'll all be taken care of through the settlement.
What about me?
You worry about getting better. Do what your doctor tells you. We'll take care of the rest.
What a relief.
Mark Durham Injury Law, 615-242-9000.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-806-9554. 800-806-9554. 800-806-9554. That's 800-806-9554.
It's time to say see you later, alligator, to embarrassing and troublesome issues with your skin, nails, and hair with all-natural Cayman Alligator Oil. Cayman Oil is locally made, right in Louisiana, where people have been using alligator oil for centuries to treat all kinds of ailments. A drop a day of Cayman Oil can help you say see you later, alligator, to athlete's foot, nail fungus, acne, eczema, rashes, dry skin, cuts, infections, MRSA, scars, burns, sunburns, and even ingrown hair and dandruff. If you or someone you know is tired of suffering with any of these skin, nail, and hair troubles, you need to visit mycayman.com to learn more about 100% natural, non-toxic, hypoallergenic Cayman oil and get a bottle today. Say, see you later, alligator, with Cayman Alligator Oil at mycayman.com. That's mycaimon.com. mycayman.com.
Hey, this is George Plaster to talk to you about the folks at Shield Law Group. My guess is that some of you are like I have been at some point. You've got debt, and that's holding you back. Maybe you're ready to get back on the right track, buy a house, a car. In general, put bad financial decisions aside. And that's where these folks can really help you. They're local. They're accessible. When you need them, they'll be there for you. and they'll give you a free assessment. The beauty of Shield Law Group, they have a way of negotiating settlements that potentially could save you thousands of dollars and improve your credit rating. And 30 years of experience means they can probably help you. So give them a holler at 615-742-8020. That's 615-742-8020. And ask for my friend, Bill Kaloudis.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast. Temperatures falling throughout the afternoon. Rain changes over to snow showers and wind gusts up to 25 miles per hour. Overnight tonight, slight chance of flurries up until midnight. Mostly cloudy skies. Temperatures drop to the mid-20s. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Joe Gardner.
Sports Radio WNSR.
He's live. He's local. He's George Plaster. The George Plaster Show on Nashville Sports Radio.
You know, we didn't get a lot of chance to talk about it today with all the other stuff, but how about Nashville SC in year one? What an amazing job they did. Two playoff victories. Went to OT last night in Columbus. Terry, they so overachieved, it's not even funny.
Yeah, a really good job in their inaugural season. Be interesting to see, you know, just how much support they get once their second season rolls around, and hopefully things will be a little closer to normal and they can have fans in the stands.
Yeah, I'll be real interested to see off of this great showing in a COVID year, if by some chance, by the time they start next season, if the COVID has relaxed or hopefully with vaccine gone away, what is the level of interest in this market? I think John Ingram and his crew are off to a terrific start when it comes to that. Terry, remember you heard this. Take Philly plus the points tonight.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, here we go.
That'll put you in the poorhouse. Watson, get ready to clear bankruptcy tomorrow.
Yeah, that wouldn't take long.
You all behave. We'll do it again tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Johnny Ballpark Franks is coming up next.
WPDQ, Franksboro.